Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurca Butler joins us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the world. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, Latvia, we're going to go to first. The Prime Minister has resigned.
Yes, so this is the Prime Minister, Evika Silina. She's been there since September of 2023, and she was leading a three-party coalition. Now, I suppose the scandal that led to her resignation, nothing to do with her, you could argue it's nothing to do with the defence minister that she fired either, but it began on the 7th of May when three drones from UK that were meant to be heading towards somewhere in Russia, that were meant to be heading towards somewhere in Russia, somehow had their signals jammed and ended up going into Latvian airspace, okay?
Okay.
So the three drones ended up in three very different places, so that one of them crashed into the ground, presumably exploded near a town called Rezekne. Another one went into an oil storage unit in near the same town. And then the other one flew through Latvian airspace and out the other side. And we don't know where that ended up.
Okay.
So a big scandal. Thankfully, nobody was injured. Nobody died or nobody was injured. But it was a big scandal because that's the second time it's happened this year, right? And both Latvian authorities and Ukrainian authorities admitted, they were Ukrainian drones. Now, Latvia, for obvious reasons, because it's very small and it's hugged up right against the border there with Russia, and it only has a population of 1.8 million people, is very supportive of Ukraine, and very sympathetic towards them, as are the other three countries there beside it, Lithuania and Estonia. So having this kind of thing happening not once but twice in the space of the year isn't great. So somebody had to go. And Evika Silina, the Prime Minister, decided to fire her Defence Minister, a man by the name of Andris Spruds. That happened last week. But he was the head of another party within that three-party coalition, and you can imagine what happened next. He said, that's not on. His party left the coalition, she had to resign, and so the government effectively collapsed.
My word.
So they're being mocked by Russia, for their lack of stability, that kind of thing. Now, it should be said that there are elections due to take place in October. They're moving relatively quickly to try and come up with a solution. An interim government made up of five parties. I think there's six parties in Parliament, so they're going to have effectively a cross-party coalition that'll keep them ticking over until October. But it's not something that you want to be happening. Instability.
Yeah.
When the great bear is licking its lips next door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, these drones weren't intended to go through. There isn't an agreement with Ukraine and Latvia to allow them to go through.
No, if you look at the map, there's a couple of ways it could have gone. I doubt they went through Belarus and then up through and into Latvia. They probably went into Russia, out of Russia, and then back into Latvia somehow. I don't know how it happened, to be honest with you.
Okay. But they don't know how it happened either, presumably.
It doesn't look that way at the moment.
So I don't know.
Only that the signals were jammed. That's all somehow. So there may well have been Russian interference on some level, but I can't say for sure.
Right. But if they don't know, why are they having a row about it? I don't understand, because it sounds like something outside their control.
Yeah,
both
indeed.
The minister and the prime minister.
Yeah, so she said in her parting shot, I suppose, about the defence minister, that she was getting rid of him because of an overall lack of coordination, shall we say, within the Department of Defence. That was her excuse anyway. But, somebody's head had to go on the chopping block, I suppose, for this happening twice. And that's what she chose to do. Maybe she didn't expect such a backlash from the party and the party to leave en masse. I don't know why. It might have been a miscalculation on her part. For her part, she says she's resigning, but she's not going away. So she's relatively young, I think. I think she's only late 40s. She might be 50 at this stage. But she's not long in the job, so she'll probably go for election again in October and see what the country decides.
Yeah, indeed. So that's when the general election is going to be.
It was June, October, and I'd say I doubt it'll be called earlier. I think the president has called on the parties to come up with a solution and stick to the plan of holding the general election in October. But that might all change.
Okay, Germany we're going to go to next. Now, a controversy over... are they allowing people into a museum or not? based on their nationality.
They're not allowing them in based on their nationality. Now, I know we did a story on Germany last week, but I just couldn't avoid this one. And it is slightly connected to the one that we had before, because it is to do with this, loosely, I suppose, to do with the war in Europe, if you want to bring it into a broader, if you want to look at it in a broader scale or a broader picture. So this is about a museum in Germany, as you said. It's in the city of Koblenz. It's called the Bundeswehr Museum of German Defense Technology, right? And the story came to light actually from a publication in Ukraine when a woman got in touch with the media there about the fact that she had been refused entrance at the to this museum, right? She said that she had traveled for 2 hours with her two children to get into the museum, but when they got to the top of the queue, they were asked to show ID. The ID showed that she was from Ukraine, and she was told that she was on a list of countries that weren't allowed to come into the museum, right? So there's 26 countries on that list, okay? So some of them are Ukraine, Russia, Belarus, Iran, Pakistan, Moldova, Afghanistan, and then there's countless others. So 26 in total. And so the story kind of leaked out from Ukraine, got into Germany, and the German press began to get onto it and sort of look for answers, right? So the first place they went was obviously to the museum.
Yeah.
And the museum said, well, it's actually nothing to do with us, and we're a little bit cheesed off about this because we don't always know how to deal with it, because obviously people get upset when they're told they can't get in. They discovered that there had been a notification on the website and a sign on the door since March of this year, which listed these 26 countries, right? And the spokesperson for the military, really, rather than the museum, said that it was due to military security regulations that access to the collection is currently denied to nationals of countries listed in accordance with Section 13, Paragraph 1, Number 17 of the Security Clearance Act. And she followed, and the spokesperson followed that up by saying that this museum was really more of a kind of a college, right? It's full of military wear, right? So tanks and trucks and guns and whatever else you have, and they come and they look at that and they get an education on what are the different types of military wear that different European armies use, okay? And that's where they get their education.
Yeah.
And that is its primary function, right?
Yeah.
Its secondary function is as a museum for the public. And so the rules around its primary function trump any rules about its secondary function, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And so there are military rules and regulations about access. Now, when they went further and they asked people in Berlin what was the reason for the list and the countries on the list, they were met with silence. So we don't have a specific reason.
Yes.
We just know that this list was compiled in 2022. It includes those 26 countries. Presumably they believe that there's a risk of spying or information that they don't want to get out or whatever it might be. But for whatever the reason is, and they do, you know, give the Section 13, Paragraph 1, Number 17 of the Security Clearance Act as the reason, they deem that those countries and people from those countries are a risk to their national security.
It's an odd one, because it's I would have thought the information that they're that's available in this place, you could probably find on the internet anyway. I doubt if they're letting certain people in and this is a military secret, but don't tell anyone that you know from Ukraine about this.
So the only thing that I can think of, or that might be able to answer the question, is that I don't think all of these wares that are on show have been disarmed.
Okay.
Right.
So they're worried about sabotage.
They could well be. Yeah. There was a few articles that I had a look at, and they all seemed to mention that aspect of it, thereby sort of, you know, looking at it from that point of view, that there's a risk of sabotage, as you say, or something going wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting one. Right. Australia, we're going to go to now. This is a court case involving a trans woman and a social media app.
Yes, trans woman on a social media app, and the case is called Tickle versus Giggle.
Yeah.
So everybody get that out of your system before we move on. There's a serious enough case, right? It's been going on since, I suppose, 2021 it goes back to, when a person who identifies as a woman, by the name of Roxanne Tickle, downloaded the Giggle for Girls app, okay? So this is an app that was started in 2020, basically as a safe space for women to meet online and network, all right? So excluded men. And it was put together by a woman called Sal Grover, who I believe was a scriptwriter in Hollywood for years and came back to Australia and set this up, right? Okay, so the Roxanne Tickle tried to get into the app, okay, and join it. And she was successful, right? And in order to do that, she had to take a selfie on an AI or whatever, determined that she was...
a woman.
Yeah, womanly enough looking to get in, okay? And she used the app for about 6 months. But then the owner of the app, this Sal Grover, was going through it, doing her own administration on it. And she discovered the picture and she said, no, that's a man.
Yeah.
And kicked Roxanne Tickle out, okay? Tickle then tried to get back in, and this is important. Tickle then tried to get back in, and she explained at that point that she identified as a woman, all right?
But hadn't previously been identified.
And this is important to the case, and I'll explain why in a minute, right? But Grover didn't let her back into the app, right? And that was that. So Roxanne Tickle took the case, okay, under the Sexual Discrimination Act, okay, which was amended in 2013 by none other than Julia Gillard say that discrimination couldn't be based on gender identity, right? So very important, right? So she won the initial case. That is, Roxanne Tickle won the initial case and she was given damages of $10,000, I think it was, okay? And the judge in the ruling in a federal court basically said that Sal Grover, the owner of the app, had indirectly discriminated against Tickle, right? Basically saying that, okay, well, look, she thought the person was a man based on the visuals and so kicked her out. And indeed, you know, Grover had said, look, that's exactly what I did. So, you know, that's what I dealt with her in a way that I would have dealt with any other man is exactly what she said, right?
Okay.
But that was appealed, okay? So both Sal Grover appealed, the owner of the app appealed the original decision, and then Tickle counter-appealed, saying that it wasn't accidental discrimination, okay, that it was done on purpose. So this is what was overturned the other day, right? The court, the proper federal court, with three, a full federal court with three judges, basically decided that the discrimination wasn't accidental and it was done on purpose, and doubled the amount of damages that Grover now has to pay to Tickle to $20,000. Now, obviously, this has caused quite a bit. It's been watched very closely in Australia, right? Mm. And Sal Grover has not been shy about going on media and, you know, arguing her case. And she says she's going to appeal and now bring it to the High Court as well. So although Roxanne Tickle came out of the court and said she was delighted and said she hoped to be able to get on with the rest of her life, it seems unlikely that she will. It seems unlikely that she'll be able to do that anytime soon.
Yeah, okay. So that last judgment wasn't the highest court in the land in Australia.
I think there's one more to go. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, whether they hear the case or not, I don't know. I mean, because this has got into the political spectrum now as well, because the party that I think are in opposition at the moment are saying that if they get in, they'll change the law and they'll get rid of the gender identity bit. So there's consternation about this.
Okay, right. So you can see how it would be very divisive. And Giggle, when Giggle was set up, was it because you can say this is a safe place for women, meaning no trans women? Thank you very much. Was that implicit in the idea behind it?
From the few interviews that I've seen with Sal Grover, that's exactly what it was set up for.
Right, okay.
I think she didn't foresee that problem.
Yes, right, okay. And from Roxanne Tickle's part, was there a little bit of perhaps mischief by joining it?
I can't say. Yeah, I can't say, well, really. I'd be out of order if I made any comments on that, sorry.
Brazil we're going to go to next. Now, this is a piece of videotape involving Jair Bolsonaro's son.
Yeah.
Asking for $26 million. Thank you very much. To make a film.
To make a film about his dad.
Which
we'd be first to go and see, showing you and
absolutely.
Me. Friday night with the popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is Flavio Bolsonaro. He'd be well known. He's 45 years of age. He's a member of the Senate. And basically, he's been caught asking a man who is standing trial for fraud to the tune of $60 billion. For $26 million, as you say, right? So this man, the man in question is a man called Daniel Vorcaro. He was a banker. He owned or ran a small private bank called Master Bank. And he's accused of defrauding about 800,000 clients of his, right? And as that fraud got worse, he tried to cover his losses. He paid millions in bribes to public officials and politicians, right? Now, at the time that these conversations between Flavio Bolsonaro and Vorcaro happened, he wasn't in jail, but there were rumours swilling around the place that he was a ne'er-do-well, okay? Yeah. And he was the wrong type of person to be involved in. But originally when these tapes were released last week, tapes and text messages were released last week, Flavio Bolsonaro denied the allegations and then, you know, he tried to get away with it. And then he said, oh, yeah, well, OK, I did do it, but I'm just a son seeking private sponsorship for a private film about his father's story, brackets, which I was hoping to make millions of dollars out of. So that's what he's saying.
And this would be some sort of, because the father's still under house arrest and all that kind of thing, I assume. So this would be some sort of, no, he was a great man.
Undoubtedly. Yeah. And the thing
Any
about
big this, names attached to it, or, you know, directors lined up.
There was Jim Caviezel, is it? The guy who played Jesus in Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ?
Yeah.
He was lined up to star in it.
Crikey.
Now, there's no indication that he did anything wrong, by the way.
Yeah. He knew about this.
Well, no comment.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the problem for Flavio Bolsonaro is that up until this scandal broke, right, he was doing very well in the polls against President Lula. Brazil is going to have elections in October, I think, like Latvia, in October of this year. And they're neck and neck, okay? But this scandal has screwed him completely, if you'll excuse my language.
Right.
Because we know that half of the money was transferred from Daniel Vorkaro into an intermediary account, but we don't know where it is now. And this is going to be a big problem for him. So there's already talk now of Flavio Bolsonaro having to stand down from this election. And it looks like the possibility is that Bolsonaro, that is Bolsonaro Sr.'s wife, Michelle, who is younger than Flavio Bolsonaro, the son, and quite a charismatic and good looking lady, will be the candidate that goes up against Lula as the representative of the Bolsonaro family. So fascinating stuff.
And, you know, was it implicit in the video that was released that you give us money, Mr. Vorkaro, to make a movie and we'll help you out with your legal troubles kind of thing?
No, I don't think that came up at all. I mean, again, these recordings, the conversations, I should say, and the recordings of the conversation, sorry, happened before he was in prison.
Right, okay.
Right? So there was no legal proceedings yet, although, as I say, there was rumours that were flying around.
And it's a pretty big budget for a Brazilian film.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it in space or big special effects?
Yeah, compared to, I mean, there's two other films which I'm sure you've reviewed before on Friday, Movies and Booze. I'm Still Here, which won the Oscar for Best International Feature in 2025, had a budget of nearly $9 million. And The Secret Agent, I don't know if you've seen it, but that was nominated for Best Picture in 2026. That had a budget of only $6 million. So this one was nearly $27 million. So,
I don't know. Well, maybe they only need half the money since half of it's missing.
Indeed.
Mexico. We're going to go to finally bad news for school kids there.
Yes, they were going to finish school early. The Mexican government, again on the 7th of May, made an announcement through Mario Delgado, who is the Minister for Education, that because of an extraordinary heat wave, the World Cup, and other factors, they had decided they were going to finish school early, the 5th of June, instead of the 15th of July. Now, as you can imagine, this outraged a lot of parents, and they have a parents' association, a national union of parents there in Mexico. I don't know, do we have one of those here?
Let's not express an opinion one way or the other, because we'll probably get, you know,
Let's not put ideas into people's
heads. Of course, there is. How dare you not say there isn't.
Anyway, the 5th of June was going to be the date, so the kids were delighted, the parents not so happy, and so they had to row back on it. So instead of that, they're going to be now finishing on the 15th of July, as they would have been expected to finish. So there you go.
Okay, and there's no kind of wiggle room there to let them off to watch matches or anything like that.
I don't know if that's been made. I think they will have to let them off to watch matches, in fairness. But I mean, the World Cup will be nearly over, excuse me, by the time they finish on the 15th. So
yeah, okay, yeah. Education more important. Right, what should we look out for this coming week or so?
On Saturday, Barbra Streisand is getting honoured with a Palme d'Or at Cannes. I have no idea why I included that there. There mustn't be much going on in the future.
Yeah.
Then on Sunday, as most sports people know, the Premier League ends 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock on Sunday. And then there's parliamentary elections in Cyprus, which could be quite interesting. Cyprus, very interesting spot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Okay. Jonathan, thanks a million. Sean. As ever, Jonathan DeBurka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2. On News Talk, conversation that counts.